Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my website, beardedtechedguy.com, and of course, the Digital Learning page on MySPS. I'm excited to continue in our series on Power Up Your Learning, adding gamification to your classroom and game-based learning. I'm super excited to get to level one, but before we get there, we do have a few announcements to hit up. Make sure, as SPS employees, you're checking out the MySPS page. There's some information there about what weather-related closures, delays, and dismissals looks like for you as an educator here in Springfield, along with winter wellness reminders. And also, if you are a newer, younger teacher, or maybe you've been teaching for a little while and you're looking to take that next step in your school responsibilities, there is the Promise Fellows, which is opening up looking for new fellows. So check it out if you are interested in becoming a school leader. To continue on in our updates, one of the things I do want to bring to attention is our blog posts. You can find them on my website, beardedtechedguide.com, or the digital learning page on MySPS. We just wrapped up, if you are listening to this when it comes out, we just wrapped up the part three to what we called Office to the Rescue. And in this one, the latest blog post, we actually focus on two particular tools, Copilot and Designer. Now, Designer is by far one of the cool designing programs out there, very similar in style to Canva and pretty easy to use. Everything I've done with it so far, I've liked. And then there's also Copilot. Copilot takes the whole large language models and Microsoft Graph data to boost productivity. So it's really a tool that can help you with your coding. Also, it does have a lot of those similar ChatGPT features because, well, it is also run on ChatGPT. And in fact, I actually think a lot of AI is kind of run off of that too. Don't quote me on that. I'd have to go back and look at the information on it. Like I mentioned in the last episode, we are focusing on a book study this month, and that book is Power Up Your Classroom, Reimagine Learning Through Gameplay with Lindsay Blass and Kate Tolney. There will be blog posts coming in the future all about what we talk about today, along with some other information, details, resources, things that you can use to help you in becoming a master gamer in your classroom. So we're going to go ahead and jump to level one, otherwise known as chapter one. Imagine a classroom where students crave homework, where failure fuels their drive, and learning feels like conquering a thrilling video game. I know that might sound a little crazy to everybody, but if you take and apply gamification and game-based learning into your classroom, that is a feeling that your students are going to have, whether it's a simple assignment like a spelling list or something more complex, project-based learning project where the outcome is for students to improve the park that is next to the school. Did you know that gamification is one of the most effective ways to increase student engagement in online learning? I looked through a number of different studies in the blog post. I am going to quote one of the studies where they point out that by doing gamification, you increase student participation by 50% and reduce dropout rates by 40%. A 50-point swing one way and another 40-point swing into students not dropping out. So those numbers are pretty awesome numbers, especially if you are working in a school or a school district where you struggle with that. I know one of the things in Springfield is we've worked very hard to have very low dropout rates. So a 40% increase, a 40% decrease in dropout rates to an already low dropout rate is going to make it even lower. And so I kind of preface all of that with, that's where I feel like level one kind of comes in, because it's all about what are the goals of the game and how it all kind of works. So what is game-based learning? What is gamification? Those are words that definitely get thrown around a lot. I'm going to be throwing them around a lot. So we need to have a common understanding of what they are. One of the things that the book points out, and they kind of identified what they call the four C's of game-based learning, which we will touch on here in our episode today. So one question I do want you to think about as you're listening today, because I think it's important and it's going to help you frame what we're talking about. And that is, what gameplay structures already exist in learning and how can the power of play increase learner engagement? In fact, that's the goal of level one here. Also a pretty neat thing too, if you are into board games, they have a neat little board game layout for every level, and each level, the boards build on each other. So similarly, like a game. So by understanding unique characteristics of gamification and game-based learning, I'm hoping that you'll be prepared, that you can begin to integrate both of them into your classroom, and you'll be able to design more effective and engaging learning activities for your students with those two things in mind. And I'm going to do my best to edit out me turning the pages. You're not going to hear it, but I'm going to take some long pauses in between so I can turn pages. Because I decided that after last episode where I tried to do everything by memory, there were certain things I definitely wanted to make sure that I hit and explained well from the book, because there's a lot of great things in the book. So right away in the book, the authors lay out a couple different approaches into the classroom. And I actually can see and have seen both of these approaches happening in the classroom. So listen to this. In the first world, students enter the classroom and take out their notebooks. The teacher presents the content for the day as the students take notes, asking clarifying questions as needed. The teacher models several problems for guided practice, and ultimately the students apply the skills in independent practice and application. Sounds quite familiar, doesn't it? Something that we all probably have done at times in the classroom. I know for me, especially as a newer teacher, it was kind of a default mode. The whole, I do, we do, you do. I really felt like for me, that was my default because I was just trying to understand the curriculum that I'm teaching, and I'll make sure that I can be the expert in the classroom so that my students can learn well. Now, listen to this example. In the second world, students are presented with a game-based challenge that requires research, collaboration, communication with peers, and creative problem solving. They are able to power up as they progress, conquering the challenge only when they have mastered the content. Now that sounds like a classroom I want to be a part of. And if you notice, they both have solid lesson design elements in them, input, guided practice, independent practice. But which one sounds more exciting? Because there's nothing wrong with either of them. The second example, I really feel like you're entering your classroom with just a few gaming words sprinkled in, like conquering the challenge and power up as they make their way through their work. Honestly, some very Dungeons and Dragons-like language. Now, there's nothing wrong with both of these examples. And I think the classroom really does need both project-based learning at times. Not everything can be done through project-based learning. And not everything can be done through the I do, we do, you do type environment. Both are appropriate. Both can work well in the classroom if used well and correctly. I just used well a few times there. But I will tell you what, if you start mixing all this stuff up into your room and you even start using some gaming language, your students will increase their engagement into what you're doing. And I really do believe that with increased engagement, you will get increased mastery of whatever you're doing with your students, whatever grade it is. Now, I'm going to say something that I'm sure you've heard before. I've heard before, and I always cringe when I hear it. Because with a lot of this stuff, adding gamification, game-based activities into the classroom, I'm sure that we've all heard, hopefully not said, these magic words. It's always been done that way. I know I've heard them in my teacher prep programs, in different professional developments. We fall into this trap which can prevent us from trying new things or integrating new best practices. After studying how to figure out how to make the learning more engaging, one of our authors came to this conclusion. If we want to disrupt student learning, we must disrupt professional training for educators, starting with the PowerUp hashtag PowerUp Classrooms. So the authors, on my copy of the book, it's on page 15. If you have got the same copy, you should see it too. They've got a fun little layout. On the blog post, I'm going to do my own version of this layout. But those four C's are choose, clarify, connect, and celebrate. Choose, encourage student choice and agency. That's something that we're always trying to do. When we are in the classroom with our students, I know for me, one of the things that I was doing near the end of my teaching time was doing a four square or a nine square choice board where students could choose two or three different activities to show completion and understanding and mastery of whatever we were doing in the classroom. And I think to help with students being able to choose and having agency over that, they need to be able to have clearly defined learning objectives and expectations to provide focus and direction. Because if they're not clear, whatever they choose is going to fall flat on its face. They're going to get frustrated. You're going to get frustrated because it's not going to accomplish what you're trying to get accomplished. I think when it comes to the next C, which is connect, it's really important to build some meaningful connections between content that is being taught in the classroom and real-world applications. In the real world, a family of five is not going to go to the store and buy 30 watermelons to divide amongst them. It's just not going to happen. Doesn't make sense. The question gets away from the math part, which you're trying to get the student to do, instead of, why are they buying so many watermelons? I don't know why. I've recorded this part probably a couple of times now, and I've used watermelons each time. I apparently have watermelons on the brain. Probably doesn't help that I had cut some up for the kids the other night. The last C, though, the one that I like a lot, is celebrates. Recognize and celebrating student achievement, fostering a positive learning environment. There's lots of different ways you can go about doing that. But it's important to be able to celebrate all the victories. All the big ones, all the small ones. It allows us to really give the students that boost of confidence that they might need. Otherwise, you're just recognizing them for the things that they're doing, which is important. We all need recognition for the work that we do. One of the really nice features with this book is there's a lot of QR codes and links and contact information to the authors, to authors' work, to work that they are referencing, which I think can be really helpful to understanding all of this. But for us to really be able to engage, we need to answer the level one most important question. And that is, what is gamification and what is game-based learning? And what are some examples of each of these? So to start, we need to define these terms. So game-based learning, learning occurs through gameplay. Sounds pretty straightforward. The game itself is the learning experience, and by playing the game, students reach the instructional objectives. So on the game-based learning side, that is using the game to meet the instructional objective. So some examples of these can be, and I'm sure you even have some of these in your room already, and you might not even have realized it. Educational board games, Kahoot, those are examples of game-based learning. The book goes a little bit old school with Jeopardy. I know I was watching it the other night with my kids, and I kept rattling off the answers before the three contestants. And they were like, wow, you know a lot. I'm like, that's just trivia. It's from all those years from elementary, middle, and high school of playing Jeopardy in the classroom is why I feel like I'm decent enough at Jeopardy. So whole class games like that. Immersive digital experiences, one of the ones that they point out is using Minecraft to teach math concepts. Another example that I can think of, when I was younger, we used to play the Oregon Trail, and that would help us learn the path that would happen to go from Missouri to California and all sorts of different things inside of there. And so that is the game-based learning side. So to remember, game-based learning really is playing games to meet the instructional objectives. So anytime that we use that, anytime going forward, when we say game-based learning, or I might even shorten it and say GBL, that's what we're talking about. That the students playing the game helps reach the objective. I can think of a ton of different math games that you can play that help reach different mathematical objectives. In fact, I got a whole book of multiplication dice games from when I taught fifth grade. Pretty awesome book, by the way. I loved it. Students loved it. It got pretty competitive. The next one is gamification that we're going to address. So gamification is applying elements of game design in a non-game setting, such as instruction and training. The learning experience is supported by adding the elements typically associated with games. Now, I'm pulling these definitions right from the book because I feel like for us, it's important to be all on the same page. And I think they're great definitions that are laid out in here that I don't need to try to reword myself. So some examples of gamification in the classroom. We probably already do some of these things. If you have PBIS, you definitely do. That is having some sort of point system, class dojo, for example, maybe. There's maybe some sort of badging that happens in the classroom. I know for our 23 tools challenge, we do badging. Having quests to reach a goal. So maybe you have a learning goal that you want students to reach, but they have to go on a quest, which means they have to go and accomplish different things before they can reach that goal. And depending on your group of students, this one is probably the one that we are all probably pretty familiar with, and that is having leaderboards for social motivation. I know when I taught writing, one of the things that I loved using was National Novel Writing Month. They have a whole kids curriculum. It is a fantastic curriculum to use. I know here in Springfield that we have Be a Writer, and it is also fantastic. The National Novel Writing Month is fun. It's easy to use, easy to track with. When I did it, I was at a charter school, and they gave me money to buy things. And so for my classroom, I actually bought the scoreboard, and then I put every student's name on it, and then every student had target word counts that they had to get to. And as they reached different goals, they got to add stickers onto the chart to show their progress in writing. It was definitely motivating for the students. I had one student who, near the beginning of that time, really, really disliked writing. Anything that was creative writing or fictional writing, they were not the biggest fan of. But when we walked through the hero's journey beforehand and what that looks like in writing, and they had a great concept of what they were going to write about and number of different outlines that they were going to incorporate together, they wrote and they wrote and they wrote and they wrote. And that student, my goal for the students was 10,000 words. I thought that was a pretty tough goal to reach. That was the goal. This student hit that in a week. The student who did not like writing novels or fiction hit a 10,000 word goal in a week. So by the end of the month, the end of National Novel Writing Month, this student had about 60,000 words in their story. And let me tell you, it took a long time to read and edit that, because that is a lot of words. But for that student, having the motivation of being able to add the sticker, because they liked adding stickers to things, that was definitely a way for them to reach their goal. On the chart, of course, it didn't go any further than what I had it set up as. So for that student and many more, because many more really got into the writing and all of it, I ended up having to buy extra stickers, and they had stickers going like up and down the wall where I had set up the chart to begin with. So needless to say, it was very motivating. Out of the 50 students I had partaking in National Novel Writing Month, all of them reached their word goal. Some reached it it took them the entire month to get there. Some, like that one student I was giving an example, took mere days, because once they got going with their idea, they just ran with it. And I think that's also another, because National Novel Writing Month, it's really a writing project, and they got really into it. And so that's another way that project-based learning, I know it's a little plug for this on this side, can really help out and really work in your favor. Also, within inside the book here, they also have these, what they call Meet the Game Master section, where they have different teachers that they've interviewed and studied with that has taken different aspects of game-based learning and gamification and applied it well. And on page 19, they have Jacob Aringo, a STEAM teacher, who listened to this. Each course he teaches is framed through quests and students need to accomplish. Each quest contains missions. At the end of every quest, there is a boss battle, a final battle to advance to the next quest. The adventure, of course, launches with a video that frames the journey the class will take during their learning experience. And like I said, there's QR codes. There's QR code here too. I'll actually include this bit.ly in the show notes. Hopefully the bit.ly still works. I'll definitely check it before I post it. Much of Jacob's work in gamifying his classroom is based on the theory and framework design of Yu Kai Cho. Yu Kai Cho advocates for moving beyond design that is only focused on integrating gamified elements, that's the points, badges, leaderboards, and focusing on core motivational drives that lead to increased motivation, engagement, and eventually empowerment. The way Jacob frames his course is based on the core drive of epic meaning and calling. As he works with his students, who he deems Jedi innovators, to defeat Darth Boredom. Yep, I said it. Darth Boredom. When learning has a deeper purpose beyond getting straight A's, satisfying their parents, ranking themselves amongst their peers, and getting into the college of their choice, the learners are able to focus on what matters most, their passion, which eventually and potentially translates into their future. Definitely check out his videos. They are pretty awesome. I'm going to include his link in the show notes. And also, Yu Kai Cho, I'll include links for them too. So what I also like is that this isn't just a book to read. It's a book to kind of work through, and they call it your challenges. And so this is what I ended up writing in the book as I was reading it. I don't know if I actually posted it up on Twitter. I'll have to go back and look. But I said, GBL is where you're learning through the game. When I was in fifth grade, we learned all about city-states of Greece through this method. We had different challenges we had to complete, which went to a leaderboard. My team was Sparta, and we dominated all learning aspects. I think that's because Sparta is the best, by the way. My why for this journey is to transform how I taught in the classroom with my teaching and learning. My hope is to lead others in making their classrooms more engaging and lead to students' success. So there's things for you to think about in here, in the book, in the chapters, in the levels, to kind of get your mind going. And that's what I like about that too, about this book, is that it's interactive. It's not, I know for many of us, like when I read The Book Whisperer, which is a fantastic book on getting students to read, I took a lot of notes. It wasn't very interactive. It didn't necessarily ask me to do anything with it, but I read through it. I used the reading list when I taught reading. Fantastic book, by the way, by Donald Lynn Miller. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. Check it out. The last part of the chapter, or the level, is because a lot of our standards come from ISTE when it comes to learning and technology, there is a connection to the ISTE standards within every level of this book. For those of you who don't know, ISTE stands for the International Society for Technology and Education. It's a nonprofit organization that focuses on the integration of technology and education. I'm excited to be speaking. This will be my second time speaking at ISTE live. They do a conference every year. This year, it's going to be in Denver. I'm super excited. I've never been, but I am presenting. It's the largest edtech conference in the world. One thing that ISTE does to help educators is provide resources, professional development opportunities, and a network for educators to enhance their knowledge and skills in using technology and to support learning and teaching, which is where I always come back to with my, I want teachers to be authentically using technology in the classroom. I get a lot of that from these ISTE standards. The other thing that ISTE has done is to create standards for educational technology, which outlines the skills and knowledge that educators and students and administrators should possess to effectively use technology in education. So for this level one, it meets ISTE Standard 5 Designer. Educators design authentic learning, learner-driven activities and environments that recognize and accommodate learner variability. 5B is design authentic learning activities that align with content area standards and use digital tools and resources to maximize active deep learning. And 5C, which is explore and apply instructional design principles to create, innovate digital learning environments that engage and support learning. So after every level, I'm going to make sure that I point out what standards are covered. So as we explore level one, we learned about the reasons behind integrating gaming elements into education, into our classrooms. We discovered that many of our classrooms actually already have a lot of the seeds for gameplay, whether that's having games in the classroom that are designed to help students learn, or we're already doing things like leaderboards and badges and points. The traditional and project-based learning models, which enriched with gaming language, can significantly enhance student engagement. To propel educators and education into a new era, we really need to embrace this need to move away from the classic stand at the podium, teach, and then students do the work. We need to really embrace the four C's. This level emphasizes the design of authentic learner-driven activities and environments. And as we explore this book, let's keep this in mind, as it is the basis for everything else we are doing and the basis for our why. So I hope that you are ready to start to level up your classroom. My challenge to you is to look around your classroom to see what is already there. Maybe even take little sticky notes of two different colors so that you can have one for gamification and one for game-based learning, and write down what you're already doing. And if you're going to do that, I really encourage you to post it up on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now these days. Post it there. Tag us with Power Up Classroom. Tag me with Bearded Tech Ed. I really want to see what everyone is doing out there, because I know for me, one of the goals of this podcast is always to get a view inside of other people's classrooms. As teachers, we're always constantly told by leadership, oh, you should check out this person, what they're doing in the classroom. Or you hear things like, oh, you should have seen the lesson that so-and-so did. It was awesome what them and their students were doing. That's what this podcast is for here in Springfield, is so that we can really get a view into the classroom. Let's see what you're doing already for game-based learning and gamification. And as we wrap up, the next episode of this podcast is going to be on the idea of choose your adventure. So for me, I always think back to those choose your own adventure books, where you'd read a couple pages and then it'd say, if you want your character to do this, go to page 45. If you want your character to go do this, go to page 96. and then you follow the trail. I have some really cool Carmen Sandiego books that do that. But that is for another time. That is level 2. I hope that you will all continue to join us. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating and review. I would love some 5-star reviews out there. That's what bumps us up and gets more people knowing about the things that are happening here in Springfield Public Schools. I love sharing what's going on. I hope that if you are listening as an SPS teacher and you would love to share what you're doing in the classroom, I'd love to have you on. I know I'm sending out emails now to prospective interviews. And the more I have of those, the more that we can share about the awesome teachers that we have here in Springfield. So thanks for listening to the SPS Digital Learning Hour. I'm Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and I'll see you next time.